The designated hour having arrived, I call to order this special meeting of Ansel Glick's Quorum Forum Podcast, the podcast local governments need to do business. In the chair, it's me, Daniel J. Bolin. On our agenda, it's Cannabis Q&A live at the APA Illinois State Conference in Evanston. Hooray! We're opening things up for public comment today. If you've got cannabis questions, just line right up. Say your words into this microphone. Don't be afraid. I know it's a really big stage, and don't be nervous. But we'll be taking your cannabis questions. But first, we need to take the roll. We have an attorney at Ansel Glick. He's been working with me on municipal cannabis response this spring. We like to argue, and we're going to have one right here on this stage. Kurt Asbruth is here.
Thank you for having me again, Dan.
Kurt, one of my favorite games to play is called Super Fight. We are here at the APA Illinois State Conference. We are going to pick two characters, pick some superpowers, and then argue about which one would win in a fight. Please tell me the character you selected, then please select your superpowers from this pile.
I will be a zoning administrator.
You're a zoning administrator. What are your superpowers?
My superpowers are... three of them?
Oh, pick one more.
Let's see.
Yeah, whatever it is, you have three of them.
I have three of them. I have three invisibility cloaks.
Okay, you're a zoning administrator with three invisibility cloaks.
Which means when somebody files an appeal, I get to run away and hide and be invisible and never have to answer their questions.
Oh, okay. That's a good superpower. I'm a developer riding a mafia don... who can only move when my opponent moves.
Oh.
But the Mafia Don, I think, can move. I'm kind of probably a corrupt developer.
That's never happened.
Very, very wily. So, folks, if you have cannabis questions today, step right up. Tell us who you think would win in a fight, the zoning administrator with three invisibility cloaks, or the developer riding a Mafia Don who can only move when his opponent moves. Step right up. Does anybody have a question? Please tell us your name, who you think would win in a fight, and what your cannabis question is.
Okay. Name is Kelly Purvis. I work with the Village of Glen Ellen. Clearly, the zoning administrator is going to win that.
I think there's a lot of zoning administrators in the room.
Why I chose,
My question is on-site consumption. Does that have to be a separate location, or can it be at the dispensary?
Ooh, so this is one of the arguments that we've been having.
We don't just argue about who would win in a fight. If you read the statute, it talks about on-site consumption taking place in a cannabis business establishment. And so that means that they need a state license do they need a state license? There needs to be a local ordinance authorizing that social use, that on-site consumption. Otherwise, it's prohibited by state law. The state law prohibits cannabis use in a public place. And so sometimes folks forget about that. You're probably getting phone calls. I know we've clients getting phone calls from the local taverns or the local vape shop saying, I want to allow cannabis smoking in my place. Well, good luck. Get a state license first, and then maybe talk to us about getting some local approvals. Kurt.
There is some language immediately after that says references on-premises consumption at other entities, and that's been kind of the ambiguity in the law about, does that mean you can have it at a tavern, or can you have like a hookah lounge where you're going to be able to smoke cannabis? Because there is an exemption in the act for these on-premises consumption facilities to be exempt from the Smoke-Free Act. Just like if you have a cigar lounge or a hookah lounge, that's exempt from the Smoke-Free Act. The sponsors of the bill that passed this legislation are actually saying that you can't smoke on-premises in any dispensary, only outside of a dispensary at like a cannabis lounge or a hookah lounge. That's something that might be cleared up in a trailer bill. We're not sure. But the way the law reads, it is only at a dispensary.
The a dispensary or other cannabis,
or other cannabis business
establishment.
I don't know if anybody, any cultivation center is going to be having on-premises.
Or transporter, yeah. For the sponsors of the legislation were in the news this week talking about this very point that, that they were like, well, gee whiz, it was pretty clear to us. It just says on or at a cannabis business establishment. We'll make it clearer if we need to, but that we may learn more in October during the veto session. Great question. Next cannabis question. Step right up. Don't be nervous. Watch the orchestra pit that is in front of the stage. It's very, for the listener, this is a really big stage. People might be posting photos, but it might not be possible to get it all in one frame. Maybe the new
stage.
Maybe the iPhone with like the three cameras that can do it now. The new iPhone.
Yeah.
I hope they become a sponsor. Anyways.
Any other questions? Shout them out.
Yeah, step right up. Don't be nervous. Name, who would win in a fight? was zoning administrator with three cloaks or a developer writing a mafia don? And your question.
So Curtis Posegate with the Village of Bensonville. Obviously, I got to side with the zoning administrator in this case.
I chose wisely.
I want to get some clarification on the state law and what you're enacting locally. Let's say the state law has the time limits on when when a establishment can be open. Can you restrict that further? Can you go? I mean, does it have to match exactly? Should you keep it out of your ordinance altogether? How are we going about this?
Yeah. So the state our friend Curtis was saying is that the state law provides that dispensaries can be open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. There's preemption in the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act. Can you set other hours of operation for dispensaries? Probably not.
I would say that probably would conflict with the act. Although I think some communities have taken the position that they can. So we'll see. There might be it might get sorted out in the courts eventually.
Oh yeah, if you like going to court, you can set other hours of operation. But that for other cannabis businesses, the state law is silent, so you have the flexibility to prescribe other hours of operation let's go through our favorites, the cultivation centers, the craft growers, the
infusers,
the processors, the transporters.
But I don't know if you could, so a craft grower technically has the dispensary license as well, so I don't know if you could limit the hours of operation even on a craft grower. Because that technically has a dispensary license as a portion of it there. So they would probably still have that 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Kurt's been on the podcast many times, but I'm just going to gently remind him to speak into the microphone. But anyways, listener, if you didn't hear it, it was great. It was really insightful what he said. But next question, any from the audience?
Step right up. Yeah.
Shout it out if you're too shy.
Yeah. You got another one? Let's hear it.
Kelly's back.
I'm back.
Yeah. She's still. Have you changed your mind on who would win in a fight?
No, that's decided.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. So next question is: are you able to ban certain types of things, like edibles, for example, if you didn't want to sell those in the dispensary? Could those be banned?
That's an interesting question. We've had clients ask whether they could prohibit the high octane THC.
Or the amount that can be sold. I've had that question come up. If
right.
They can limit that.
That's an interesting question. You have the power to prohibit or significantly limit cannabis business establishments. What do you think, Kurt?
I think that limiting what they can sell would probably run afoul of the act. We're allowed to regulate time, place, manner, so basically the location of these businesses. I don't know if you can make an argument maybe selling gummies is a manner.
It's a manner.
I think that my take is that putting time, place, manner in there is that they're looking at this as like how you regulate speech. You regulate freedom of speech, time, place, manner. Can't regulate the content of speech. I think maybe they're seeing the content here as the sale and growth of cannabis. So we can't regulate the sale and growth of cannabis. We can regulate where these businesses operate and how they operate. So I think there might be, I think saying you can't sell gummies, I think that might fall on the line of we're regulating the actual business itself, not the location or how the business operates.
You might be able to get there through Manor, but it's definitely a tricky area, and there's a measure of risk there. Do you want to be the test case for this? If you're concerned about edibles, for instance, you know,
banned dispensaries, yeah,
or banned dispensaries, or
because you can ban dispensaries and allow all the other types of businesses if you'd like. You're not limited to all or nothing.
Prohibit infusers, which could co-locate with dispensaries, that would make it harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely an interesting question and something that we'll have to see how it plays out over time.
Yeah, they left a lot of this purposely vague in the law. You know, it says we can enact reasonable zoning regulations, and then immediately says, but we can't unreasonably regulate or prohibit these businesses. So it's kind of, you know, leaving that gray area there.
Right. even though, like, the Constitution requires laws to be reasonable anyway in the first place.
There's some redundancies in that.
It's kind of wild. But and one of the things that I know the Illinois Municipal League is complain to the sponsors about, or make complaints too strong, encourage the sponsors to
reassess,
consider in a trailer bill. And more great question, more cannabis questions, anybody? Even if you've asked one before, we'll consider another one. If not, we've got one.
Backup.
These are. We've got a handful of questions here about some of the common questions that we've had in our practice. What are the minimum distance limits for cannabis businesses under state law? Kurt, what do you think?
So two dispensaries can't be located within 1,500 feet from each other. But thankfully, the legislature gave municipalities the discretion to decide what type of setbacks you want to impose from sensitive uses. So they didn't define sensitive uses as well. They gave us the power to figure out what those sensitive uses are. So schools, playgrounds, daycares, those are your standard ones. But if you decide that maybe a residentially zoned district, you don't want them set back that certain distance from a residential district, you could say that's a sensitive use. So they've actually given municipalities a lot of discretion to decide what those setbacks are going to be. So you've got a lot of power to craft your own rules there for your specific needs.
There's also distance limits between cultivation centers and craft growers in the statute too.
And advertising, there's some limitations on how far advertisements can be placed for certain uses as well. So
one thing that I think is overlooked is that while you're under the hood with your cannabis regulations, there's been changes to the medical cannabis law too.
Yes.
And the medical cannabis dispensaries established after July 1st, 2019 under the new, no longer compassionate use of medical no longer a pilot
program.
It's
no longer a pilot program, yeah.
It's got a full run, like your favorite TV shows this fall. But the distance limits that were in the statutes, which were pretty severe for dispensaries, they won't apply to new medical cannabis dispensaries. So if you don't have one and you're looking at your code, a lot of codes just followed what the Medical Cannabis Act said, and included those severe setbacks. Those don't necessarily apply anymore. Which, if you're a community that's going to be allowing adult use dispensaries, which will be much more intense use than a medical cannabis dispensary, does it still make sense to have 1,500?
I think 1,500. Yeah. Change to the Medical Act just that everybody's kind of surprised. If you have a medical card, you can now grow 5 cannabis plants at home, which was something I was. I think the original version of the bill was going to allow anybody to grow 5 plants at home. That was kind of concerning, but the horse trading there, they ended up just allowing there's 50,000 patients right now in the program that can now grow cannabis at home legally.
Another
permission from their landlord.
private property owners can still regulate their private property. And You're seeing a lot of condo boards and HOAs.
Yes, they were given the power to
regulations for their common areas. There are private regulations for cannabis too, but for those, it's primarily the smoking.
Smoking,
units.
Yes, they can prohibit smoking even in condo units.
Right.
They can prohibit smoking of cannabis. They can't prevent you from eating like a gummy or a brownie or something like that, but they can prevent anybody from smoking cannabis, even in their own units.
That is brilliant. And any other questions from the crowd? It's a huge crowd, huge stage at the APA Illinois State Conference. Actually, no joking. I'm impressed with everybody that came out. Super appreciative. Kurt, can you discipline CDL drivers for using cannabis outside of work?
You cannot. So this is one of the quirks of having cannabis be illegal under federal law, but legal under Illinois law. So certain CDL licenses are issued by the federal government. Federal government still requires those CDL drivers to go through a drug testing process, and cannabis is still illegal, so they cannot smoke cannabis. However, the Illinois Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act says we can't prohibit or discriminate against anybody for using a legal product.
Or the Right to Privacy Act.
Right to Privacy Act, sorry. Well, it's came as part of this bill.
Yeah, for sure.
It says you can't discriminate against anybody for using a legal product such as recreational cannabis. So you can't discipline a CDL driver for using cannabis. However, if they don't maintain their CDL license with the federal government and they can't perform the essential duties of their job, you can discipline them for that. So basically, you can say as a requirement you have to have a federal CDL, and that's basically requiring them not to smoke cannabis because they have to maintain that licensing with the federal government.
Right. You could discipline someone for not having the required license to do the job.
Yes.
You
yes.
can't discipline somebody for using cannabis outside of work.
Off duty.
You can't have drug-free workplace policies that prohibit use or possession of cannabis in the workplace, and you can still do drug testing, testing policies, but the result of that drug test alone
can't turn on THC alone.
Right, right. Yeah. It could be a factor among many. The focus is on impairment, not on use.
Yes.
For discipline for cannabis, CDL drivers, they could be disciplined for something else.
Yes.
Like not having their CDL license.
Their license. Yes.
Care not to discipline somebody for just using cannabis. That's something that's different in Illinois than in some other states that have allowed cannabis or medical cannabis.
Yes.
So this is something to be aware of. Other questions from the crowd? Questions about cannabis? Questions about any comments about who would win in a fight? A zoning administrator with three invisibility cloaks or a developer who's riding a mafia don and can only move when his opponent moves.
I think it's pretty clear the zoning administrator would win.
You know what? Yeah. The mafia don, I think, has some like extra things. Maybe we'll do maybe one or two more questions here. Kurt, just talk about what have you seen? What are some of the different ways that you've seen municipalities respond to cannabis businesses?
I think the surprising thing that is a lot of the communities realize that it's going to be legal everywhere, and that even if they prohibit the businesses within their corporate limits, somebody's going to be able to go next door and buy it and bring it back into their community and use it. There's really nothing you can do to prevent people from using cannabis now within your community. So the argument that I've seen, at least in most of the communities I've worked with, is that if it's going to be here anyways, we want to be the ones that are regulating it. We want to be the ones that have that kind of local control over where these businesses are going to go and how they're going to operate. So I've seen a lot of communities really moving towards allowing these uses only in certain limited districts and then only as a special use. With some, you know, pretty stringent additional standards there.
Yeah, that's very common. I've seen, like, originally a lot of communities were like, we're going to ban it, and then the pendulum swings the other way. It's a difficult policy choice, and which is why some of my clients I've seen have adopted moratoriums to further study it and the impacts and to allow for that time to get the public input that they feel they need to make a decision that makes sense for their communities. So it, that's no, there's obviously prohibited.
Yes.
Like you said, allow it subject to regulations, and then there's that middle ground that approach the moratorium to think about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people asking about maybe non-binding referendums, trying to get some input from the community before they take any action, things like that.
Or surveys.
Surveys,
we got a question over here, I think. So yeah.
What communities do you know that have already adopted regulations to allow within the zoning ordinance?
Wow.
Do you want to start?
Do you want to start?
So Wadsworth has, I believe, I think Elmwood Park has. A lot of the places that have existing medical cannabis dispensaries have already moved forward with allowing recreational dispensaries just because there is that early approval. Obviously, outside of Naperville, Naperville had their own process there where they actually got an early approval license and then decided to ban it. Trying to think of some of the other communities around here. I think a lot of the communities that I'm aware of that do want to allow it are still in that final process.
Right.
They go through their zoning board.
Skokie Oak Park.
Skokie has allowed it. I think Lincolnwood has allowed it, or at least is in the process of allowing it. A lot of the communities, they're still kind of moving through the zoning board process, though.
Yeah, it's hard to say definitively because a lot of people are leaning one way and haven't obtained their final local approvals yet. But we know that the communities that are leaning towards allowing it are typically allowing it as some kind of
special use
or conditional use with some minimum distance limits. And from the sensitive places that make sense for your community, don't just go out there and slap on a model ordinance.
Yeah.
And it's not a one. Those model ordinances that are lurking out there, I like to say, are one size fits none. And unless you actually map it out and see what these distance limits look like for your community, I guarantee when your community when this goes to public hearing, no one's going to read your staff memo, but they are going to look at the map. So make sure you have that available.
And you want to look at some communities that we've talked to, that we want to put huge distance restrictions from schools, parks, playgrounds. But if you look at it, ultimately becomes a de facto ban because there's nowhere they're going to be able to locate with these distance restrictions. So really, take a look at your map, figure out what makes sense before you start putting those distance restrictions down in any hard and fast terms.
That's a great question. Step right up. Tell us your name. Who would win in a fight, a zoning administrator with three invisibility cloaks or a developer riding a mafia don? And your question.
My name's Elise Buklich. I'm a planner for the Village of Brookfield. My village board just opted in on Monday.
Cool.
And I wanted to ask if my understanding is the medical cannabis law that passed in 2014 did have distance requirements imposed by the state, but the recreational one does not. So is the state going to amend that at some point in time to make medical cannabis the same as recreational?
So they did amend the medical cannabis law so that new medical cannabis dispensaries aren't subject to the 1,000-foot or whatever distance limits from the list of sensitive places in that law. They capped the 2,500-foot distance limits from sensitive places in the medical cannabis law for cultivation centers, medical cultivation centers. Going forward, medical cannabis dispensaries aren't subject to those state minimum distance limits from sensitive places. There are state minimum distance limits between dispensaries
for the recreational
adult use.
But the state left it up to the municipalities to decide how far you want to have those recreational dispensaries set back from schools, playgrounds, things like that. So I don't see any legislation coming down to enforce those, like to set limits statewide. Because you can say you want to say 3,000 feet from a school, you can. If you want to say 100 feet from a school, you can. It's really going to be up to that individual community to figure out what works best for them.
Right. It's especially when you're talking the unintentional ban thing that you might run into. We were talking about earlier. Do encourage you to map it out and actually see what makes sense. Any final questions before? Step right up. Don't be shy. What's your name? Who would win in a fight, a zoning administrator or developer? And your question.
Anne-Marie Hess. My question was, when you mentioned the moratorium at some of the communities that you're working with, how exactly is that working with a local moratorium versus the state saying that this is available by
right.
a certain date.
Right. So the risk of doing a moratorium is, of course, it's a competitive environment for licenses. And so by waiting around and kind of doing a moratorium for 6 or 12 or however long, months was the word I was looking for.
You might miss out on that first batch of licenses.
You might miss out. Yeah. And so that's kind of the risk, but you know some communities just aren't ready and they're not comfortable for it, and so maybe they'll be ready for the next round of licenses or what have you.
You're essentially banning it, and then you're thinking about you're banning it, and then you're saying we might change our mind after we study it for a little while.
And do you have to be in the home rule category?
You do not. There's that one of the interesting things about the law is that it really puts home rule and non-home rule communities on the same level here. There's no. Home rule communities don't have too much of a leg up as far as how they can regulate these businesses.
It is a moratorium to suspend the operation of a zoning ordinance. We think you need a text amendment.
You do have to have a public hearing. Make sure you can enforce that moratorium,
Especially if you're non-home rule. There are some home rule communities that have taken the position that, like, oh, we could just adopt a resolution and call it a day.
I think that's risky.
And there is some case law support for that, and home rule units get to do whatever they want. So, the best approach, I think, although you know, people don't enjoy them, is to have a public hearing and do the moratorium. It's a kind of text amendment saying that we're putting a pause on this zoning ordinance that said other things, but it's a good thing to do to at least get started.
Yeah.
Do whatever you're doing.
Yeah, you want to make a decision either way. You don't want to have any ambiguity in your zoning ordinance come January 1st, because you don't want somebody coming in and saying, you know, we're a dispensary, we operate just like any other retail business or, you know, cigar shop or cigar
general
tobacco stop.
Retail.
I'm general retail, so I get to go into your B1 district right
I'm
here.
I'm a cultivation
yeah.
center. I'm an agricultural use.
Yeah.
I'm permitted.
So you don't want to have any ambiguity when that starts, because then, you know, somebody's going to say, you know, I get to come in here by right. You know?
Yeah, you can interpret around it, but yeah, it'll be tough.
Language in place, do you know
I can say I was in Monticello on Monday night, there's a public hearing to consider one in Charleston tomorrow night. So I will not be at the conference reception tomorrow night. I'll be at a public hearing talking about cannabis. I'm super jealous. You guys have a great time. I'll be having a different kind of fun, but it'll be. I'll definitely miss you all. So. But I'm glad I got to see you all here today. Any final questions before we go? Scott, step right up.
Sure, Scott Mangum. So I know City of Chicago has proposed a cap based on geographic area, maximum number. Do you know if any other communities are proposing a hard cap?
Yes. Most of the communities that I know that are actually going to allow these cannabis businesses are definitely imposing a hard cap, because that's one of the other major tools the legislature gave us to regulate these businesses and basically prevent the proliferation of dispensaries, cultivation centers in your community. So they said we can regulate number. I think most communities are putting in, you know, one dispensary, one cultivation center, or zero, you know, zero. Dan always likes to say zero is a number.
Yep. Yeah, time, place, manner, number is where we can go. And so, geographically, I think I've only seen Chicago really do it.
I guess
that way.
Yeah, I haven't seen most communities set a number for their entire community.
Right.
So Chicago's authorizing a lottery system for applicants. Do you know if other communities are doing something similar? If you get five applications, you only have one license?
Yeah.
I've heard some talk about it.
Really?
But based on, you know, just like kicking around ideas, but I think Chicago's gets to be the most creative of anyone. I think they have they have unique provisions of the law that are unique to them. Not only do they have the power to prohibit or significantly limit, there's like a voter initiative, like local option referendum that they can do to prohibit it the same way that you prohibit the Chicago wards can have alcohol referenda to prohibit those.
And Chicago is obviously unique just because of the number they're going to have. I think they have 11 medical dispensaries, so they're going to be, you know, way ahead of the game as far as number. I mean, for the first, what is it, you know, through 2020, first half of that, there's only going to be 47 in the Chicagoland region. So a lot of the communities outside of Chicago aren't really going to be seeing more than one or two licenses, for at least for dispensaries coming in anyways. So they're probably looking at that a little bit differently because they're going to see certainly much more of those licenses in their corporate limits.
That great questions all. Any final questions, final thoughts on the zoning administrator versus developer argument that we've been having before
zoning
we go?
Clearly wins.
I think that the developer won, Kurt. A tough loss for you. Very sorry that we're moving on to the Department of Public Works. You got any upcoming speeches or publications you want to talk about?
I'm speaking later today on Common Zoning Questions Answered. I'm going to be talking about sign code issues and content-based restrictions, usually in the context of temporary signs, so that'll be later today. And then I'm talking on cannabis at the ICLA Local Government Law Conference in December.
Oh, so very good.
So that'll be coming up. I think that's early December.
Very cool. For dear listener, that Kurt's presentation at the APA conference for you will be in the recent past, as will my my presentation. The Mass Planner Planning Law session is at 2 p.m. today. As we're recording this, we will be talking about cannabis again and everything from small cells to scooters and everything in between in the right of way. That's at 2 p.m. Trevor Dick is hosting. We have mystery moderators who will be asking us planning law questions. It will be costumed. We will not know their identities. We will guess their identities, and the audience will vote for their favorites. It's going to be an engaging, exciting planning law session. We look forward to it at the APA conference every year. Before we go, want to remind everyone to subscribe and leave us a review wherever podcasts are heard. We prefer good reviews. Email us your questions and show ideas to podcast@ansilklink.com. And as always, visit us online at quorumforum.ansilklink.com. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second, all in favor, the ayes have it. We'll see you next time in Ansilklink's Quorum Forum podcast.